Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Directors and officers' duties and liabilities. Directors and officers are fiduciaries of the corporation and, as such, are required to act in the best interests of the corporation and its shareholders. This includes duties of care, loyalty, and obedience. Breaching these duties can result in personal liability, though corporations typically provide indemnification to protect directors and officers from personal financial loss arising from their corporate roles. In the realm of corporate governance, directors and officers occupy positions of significant trust and authority, entrusted with steering the corporation towards success while safeguarding the interests of its shareholders and adhering to legal and ethical standards. This entrustment classifies them as fiduciaries, a designation that carries with it a suite of duties and responsibilities, the breach of which can lead to serious legal and financial repercussions. Understanding the depth and breadth of these fiduciary duties, as well as the mechanisms in place to address breaches, is crucial for anyone involved in the corporate sector. The fiduciary duties of directors and officers. At the heart of corporate fiduciary obligations lie the duties of care, loyalty, and obedience. These duties, while distinct, work in concert to form the foundation upon which the principles of corporate governance are built. Duty of care. The duty of care mandates that directors and officers make decisions with the same care an ordinarily prudent person in a similar position would, under comparable circumstances. This duty compels them to conduct diligent and thorough research before making decisions. Ensure decisions are made with a reasonable belief that they are in the best interest of the corporation. Actively participate in meetings and discussions, staying informed about the corporation's operations and the external factors affecting it. The business judgment rule provides a safeguard for directors and officers, protecting their decisions if made in good faith, with the care that an ordinarily prudent person would exercise, and with the reasonable belief that they are acting in the best interest of the corporation. Duty of loyalty. The duty of loyalty requires directors and officers to prioritize the interests of the corporation over their own personal interests. Key aspects include avoiding conflicts of interest and, when unavoidable, fully disclosing these conflicts to the board and abstaining from related decision-making processes. Not exploiting corporate opportunities for personal gain without consent from the board. Ensuring transactions between them and the corporation are fair and beneficial to the corporation. Breaches of the duty of loyalty can result in the disgorgement of profits made from the breach, among other penalties. Duty of obedience. The duty of obedience demands that directors and officers adhere to all applicable laws, regulations, and the corporation's own governing documents in conducting its affairs. This includes ensuring that the corporation's activities align with its stated mission and purpose. Violations can lead to legal action against the corporation and, by extension, its directors and officers. Liabilities and consequences of breach. Breaching fiduciary duties can expose directors and officers to personal liability, holding them accountable for damage or losses their actions cause to the corporation or its shareholders. Liability can arise from negligent decisions or failure to act in a situation requiring their intervention, self-dealing or benefiting personally at the expense of the corporation, illegal actions or decisions that lead the corporation to violate laws and regulations. Legal consequences can include lawsuits filed by the corporation itself or its shareholders, regulatory actions, and, in cases of illegal conduct, criminal charges. Protection against liability, indemnification, and insurance. To mitigate the risk of personal liability and encourage individuals to serve as directors and officers, corporations often provide indemnification. This protection can cover legal fees, settlements, and judgments arising from lawsuits related to their corporate functions, provided they acted in good faith and in a manner they believed to be in the corporation's best interests. Furthermore, directors and officers' D&O liability insurance policies are a common method for providing additional protection. These policies can cover expenses not covered by indemnification, including defense costs in legal proceedings alleging wrongful acts in their capacity as directors or officers. However, indemnification and D&O insurance have limitations. They typically do not cover actions determined to be in bad faith, fraudulent, or criminal. Moreover, the availability of indemnification and insurance does not absolve directors and officers from their duty to act responsibly and in accordance with their fiduciary duties. The fiduciary duties of care, loyalty, and obedience form the cornerstone of the legal and ethical framework within which directors and officers must operate. These duties ensure that those at the helm of a corporation act with diligence, integrity, and a steadfast commitment to the corporation's best interests above their own. While the potential for personal liability is a significant aspect of these roles, mechanisms like indemnification and D&O insurance provide a layer of protection, enabling directors and officers to perform their duties without fear of unjust personal financial loss. Understanding and adhering to these fiduciary duties is not only a legal requirement, but also a moral imperative, ensuring that the corporation thrives and contributes positively to its stakeholders and society at large. As such, directors and officers must continuously educate themselves on the nuances of their duties and remain vigilant in their execution, thereby upholding the trust placed in them by the corporation and its shareholders. Shareholder rights and shareholder actions. In the corporate governance ecosystem, shareholders play a pivotal role. As the owners of the corporation, they are afforded certain rights that enable them to influence the corporation's direction, safeguard their investments, and hold the management accountable. These rights, entrenched in law, serve as a critical mechanism for ensuring that the corporation operates with transparency, accountability, and in the best interests of those it serves. Alongside these rights, shareholders also have specific avenues of action available to them when they believe their rights have been infringed upon or when the corporation is being mismanaged. Fundamental shareholder rights. Right to vote. One of the most significant rights shareholders possess is the right to vote at shareholder meetings. This includes votes on major corporate decisions, such as the election of board members, mergers and acquisitions, amendments to the corporate charter or bylaws, and significant operational changes. The weight of a shareholder's vote typically correlates with the number of shares they own, emphasizing the principle of investment proportionality in corporate decision-making. Inspection rights. Shareholders have the right to inspect the corporation's books and records. This right is fundamental for ensuring transparency and allows shareholders to ascertain the corporation's financial health, operational efficiency, and compliance with legal obligations. Inspection rights typically include the ability to review minutes from board meetings, shareholder meeting minutes, annual reports, and financial records. Right to receive dividends. When the corporation declares dividends, shareholders have the right to receive their share, proportional to the number and type of shares they hold. While the declaration of dividends is at the board's discretion, once declared, the payment of dividends to shareholders becomes a right, reflecting their share in the corporation's profits. Legal actions by shareholders. When shareholders believe their rights are being ignored, or the corporation is being mismanaged, they have legal recourse through derivative suits and direct suits. These legal actions serve to rectify grievances, enforce rights, or correct managerial wrongdoings. Derivative suits. A derivative suit is a lawsuit initiated by a shareholder on behalf of the corporation against third parties, typically the corporation's directors or officers. This type of action is taken when the alleged wrongdoers control the corporation, making it unlikely for the corporation to sue on its own behalf. Derivative suits can address issues such as breach of fiduciary duty, misuse of corporate assets, or fraud. The process for filing a derivative suit often involves demonstrating that the shareholder attempted to resolve the issue through internal corporate mechanisms before resorting to litigation, showing that the lawsuit is in the corporation's best interest, obtaining permission from the court to proceed with the suit on behalf of the corporation. Successful derivative suits can lead to recoveries for the corporation, not the individual shareholder who initiated the action. However, courts may award attorneys' fees and costs to the initiating shareholder in recognition of the benefit provided to the corporation. Direct suits. Direct suits are legal actions initiated by shareholders in their capacity, targeting wrongs that have directly harmed the shareholders. Unlike derivative suits, the relief sought in direct suits is for the benefit of the shareholders themselves, not the corporation. Direct suits can address violations of shareholder rights, breaches of contractual obligations to shareholders, or harms arising from actions that disproportionately affect shareholders, as opposed to the corporation as a whole. Challenges and considerations. While shareholder rights and the ability to take legal action provide mechanisms for oversight and accountability, they also pose challenges and considerations for both shareholders and the corporation. Shareholder actions, particularly litigation, can be resource-intensive and may divert attention and resources away from the corporation's operational goals. Moreover, the threat of litigation can create an adversarial atmosphere between shareholders and management. Balancing the need for shareholder oversight with the efficient and harmonious operation of the corporation requires clear communication and transparency from the corporation's management, active engagement by shareholders in exercising their rights responsibly, effective use of alternative dispute resolution mechanisms to address grievances before resorting to litigation. Shareholder rights and the avenues for action are foundational to the corporate governance framework, ensuring that corporations remain accountable to their owners while operating efficiently and ethically. By effectively exercising their rights and, when necessary, taking legal action, shareholders play an integral role in steering the corporation towards sustainable success. However, the exercise of these rights and legal remedies requires a careful balance, ensuring that while shareholder interests are protected, the corporation's long-term prosperity remains the overarching goal. Close corporations and special issues. Close corporations, also known as closely held corporations, present a unique subset of the corporate landscape, distinguished by their limited shareholder base and, typically, their more personalized approach to business operations and management. Unlike their publicly traded counterparts, close corporations often operate with a degree of informality that suits their compact structure, but comes with its own set of legal, operational, and interpersonal challenges. This detailed exploration delves into the nature of close corporations, the intricacies of shareholder agreements within these entities, the potential for conflicts, and the statutory provisions designed to address their unique needs. Nature of close corporations. Close corporations typically have a small number of shareholders, often involving family members or a tight-knit group of investors. The shares in a close corporation are not offered to the public and often lack a ready market for their sale, making them illiquid assets. This structure allows for more direct involvement by shareholders in the corporation's management and operations, a feature that distinguishes close corporations from larger, publicly traded companies. The closely held nature of these corporations usually means that the traditional hierarchy seen in larger corporations, where management and ownership are distinct, is blurred. Shareholders in close corporations often take on active roles in the company's day-to-day management, blurring the lines between owners and operators. Shareholder agreements. Given their unique structure, close corporations frequently rely on shareholder agreements to dictate the governance of the corporation, outline the rights and responsibilities of shareholders, and set forth procedures for resolving disputes. These agreements are pivotal, serving as a private contract among shareholders that complements the corporation's bylaws and articles of incorporation. Key components of shareholder agreements in close corporations often include management and voting rights, specifying the roles shareholders will play in management decisions, potentially granting certain shareholders veto power over major decisions. Buy-sell agreements, detailing the conditions under which shares may be bought, sold, or transferred, including first right of refusal for existing shareholders, to maintain the close-knit nature of the ownership. Valuation methods, establishing agreed-upon methods for valuing shares in the event of a buyout, which is crucial given the lack of a public market for the shares. Dispute resolution mechanisms, providing procedures for resolving internal disputes, which can be essential for preventing and managing conflicts within the small shareholder group. Potential for conflicts. The intimate structure of close corporations can be a double-edged sword. While it allows for more personal relationships and direct management, it also creates fertile ground for conflicts, especially when personal and business interests collide. Disputes may arise over management decisions, profit distribution, or the direction of the company. Given the significant investment, both financial and emotional, of shareholders in close corporations, these conflicts can be particularly intense and damaging. Effective shareholder agreements are crucial in this context, offering a framework for managing and resolving disputes. Without clear agreements and mechanisms for resolution, shareholder conflicts can lead to litigation, which can be financially and emotionally draining for a closely held corporation. Special statutory provisions. Recognizing the unique challenges faced by close corporations, many jurisdictions have enacted special statutory provisions tailored to their needs. These provisions may offer alternative governance structures, simplified operational procedures, or relaxed requirements for corporate formalities, reflecting the informal manner in which these entities often operate. For example, some statutes allow close corporations to operate without a board of directors, with shareholders directly managing the corporation. Others provide for greater flexibility in profit distribution and corporate decision-making processes, acknowledging the unique dynamics of closely held businesses. Statutory provisions also frequently address the issue of shareholder oppression, offering protections not readily available to shareholders in larger corporations. Given the potential for majority shareholders to abuse their power in a closely held corporation, these protections are designed to safeguard the interests of minority shareholders, ensuring they have a voice in the corporation's management and recourse in the event of unfair treatment. Close corporations occupy a distinctive niche within the broader corporate world, offering opportunities for more personal and direct involvement in business operations, but also presenting unique challenges. The drafting and enforcement of detailed shareholder agreements are vital in navigating the potential for conflicts and ensuring the smooth operation of the business. Meanwhile, the existence of special statutory provisions for close corporations recognizes the need for a legal framework that accommodates their unique characteristics and challenges. As such, understanding the intricacies of close corporations is crucial for shareholders, directors, and legal professionals working within or advising these entities, ensuring that they can leverage the benefits of this structure while effectively managing its inherent risks. Merger, consolidation, and dissolution of corporations. The life cycle of a corporation is dynamic, allowing for transformations through mergers, consolidations, and ultimately, dissolution. These processes are governed by complex legal frameworks designed to protect the interests of shareholders, creditors, and other stakeholders. Understanding the intricacies of these changes is crucial for corporate executives, investors, and legal professionals navigating the corporate landscape. Mergers. A merger is a strategic move where one corporation, known as the surviving corporation, absorbs another, the merged corporation, ceasing the existence of the latter. The surviving corporation inherits the rights, properties, liabilities, and obligations of the merged entity, effectively continuing the business under a unified corporate structure. Process and approval. The merger process typically begins with the negotiation and drafting of a merger agreement, outlining the terms, conditions, and the manner in which the merged corporation's shares will be converted into shares, cash, or other securities of the surviving corporation. This agreement must be approved by a majority vote of the board of directors of each corporation involved. Subsequently, shareholder approval is usually required, with the specific voting thresholds defined by state law and the corporation's own articles of incorporation and bylaws. Legal implications. Mergers can have significant legal implications, particularly concerning antitrust laws, shareholder rights, and employment agreements. Regulatory bodies, such as the Federal Trade Commission in the United States, may review mergers to prevent anti-competitive practices. Shareholders of the merged corporation may receive rights to vote on the merger and entitlements to fair compensation for their shares. Additionally, mergers can affect employment contracts and necessitate negotiations with labor unions. Consolidations. Consolidation is a process where two or more corporations combine to form a completely new entity, with the original corporations ceasing to exist. This new corporation inherits the assets, liabilities, and business operations of its predecessors. Process and approval. Similar to mergers, consolidations require the drafting of a consolidation agreement, outlining the terms of consolidation, including the structure of the new corporation, the conversion of existing shares into those of the new entity, and how the assets and liabilities of the original corporations will be handled. The agreement undergoes approval by the boards of directors and shareholders of each corporation involved, adhering to legal requirements for majority or supermajority votes. Legal implications. Consolidations can streamline operations and create synergies, but also require thorough due diligence to address legal liabilities, regulatory approvals, and the harmonization of corporate cultures. The creation of a new legal entity may also trigger tax considerations, requiring careful planning to optimize tax liabilities for the consolidated corporation and its shareholders. Dissolution. Dissolution marks the end of a corporation's legal existence. It can be voluntary, initiated by the corporation's directors and shareholders, or involuntary, forced by creditors, regulatory agencies, or judicial order due to bankruptcy, failure to comply with corporate formalities, or other legal issues. Voluntary dissolution. Voluntary dissolution begins with a resolution by the board of directors, followed by shareholder approval. The corporation must then file articles of dissolution with the state, notify creditors, settle debts, liquidate assets, and distribute any remaining assets to shareholders in accordance with their ownership stakes. Involuntary dissolution. Involuntary dissolution can be a result of legal action taken by creditors, regulatory bodies, or the state. Creditors may seek dissolution to recover debts, while regulatory agencies might force dissolution for noncompliance with laws. State laws can also dictate administrative dissolution for failure to file annual reports or pay taxes. Winding up. The winding up process involves settling the corporation's affairs, paying off debts, liquidating assets, and distributing the remainder to shareholders. This process must be conducted carefully to ensure that creditors' claims are satisfied before distributing assets to shareholders, adhering to the priority of claims. Legal and financial considerations. The dissolution process is heavily regulated to ensure fair treatment of creditors and shareholders. State laws outline the procedures for notice to creditors, claims filing, and claims resolution. Additionally, tax implications of dissolution, including capital gains taxes for shareholders and final tax returns for the corporation, must be meticulously addressed. The processes of merger, consolidation, and dissolution allow corporations to adapt to changing business environments, strategic needs, and regulatory requirements. Each process comes with distinct legal and procedural frameworks designed to ensure fairness and compliance with the law. Navigating these processes requires careful planning, thorough due diligence, and often negotiation to align the interests of all parties involved. For corporate leaders and their legal advisors, understanding these mechanisms is essential for making informed decisions that align with the corporation's strategic goals and legal obligations. Conclusion. Understanding corporations requires a comprehensive grasp of the intricate legal principles that govern their formation, operation, and dissolution. This module has explored the essential aspects of corporate law, from the initial incorporation process to the complex issues surrounding corporate governance, shareholder rights, and the termination of corporate existence. As future legal professionals, mastering these concepts is crucial for navigating the corporate legal landscape and advising clients effectively.